Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Republic for the United States House of Representatives call. Not too many people on the call yet tonight. Today is Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014, a few minutes after 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. We need to get started since we're having a joint session with the Senate tonight. I want to apologize for everybody. The agenda that was sent out yesterday, it got changed a little bit. We're only going to go over two of the documents out of the four that were sent out. Just kind of a long story. they got changed, and that's kind of what we're doing tonight. So appreciate everybody's patience in that regard. What we're going to be doing this evening is reading joint resolution to affirm unity in interim government. There's still some questions about the interim piece that we were discussing with the Attorney General last week and the week before that. So we're going to read that as kind of more clarification. And of course, everyone should have gotten that via email as well. And then after that, we'll go ahead and go into the document about the findings of Congress regarding the operation under the Constitution in respect to the term of senators and representatives. And then we'll open up the floor for discussion about that, because we will have the Senate on the floor with us to explain to us what they've done and if there's any questions about that document. And hopefully everybody has had a chance to read that between the time that it was sent out originally, or yesterday, and tonight's call. So with that, does somebody want to open us up in prayer tonight?
Mr. Public Fire Representative Mark Finder, I'll do that.
You have the floor.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding. We ask that you allow us to work together and to help bless your republic as best we can. We ask for protection and guidance and direction. Do your will, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I'll go ahead and yield to Representative Owens to do our roll call for tonight.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, everyone. Start with Alabama, Representative Roger Cook. From Arkansas, Representative Sherry Watson. From Colorado, Representative Dennis Spencer. Representative Elizabeth Ackerman.
Representative Elizabeth Ackerman is present.
Thank you. Representative Michael Ackerman.
Representative Michael Ackerman is present.
Thank you. From Connecticut, Representative Steve Martin. From Florida, Representative Michael Graves. From Illinois, Representative Gene Ferguson. Representative Andrew Phil. Representative Clinton Ford.
Representative Ford is present.
Thank you. Representative Marissa Grant. Representative Mary Jane Janota. Representative Magdalena Urbaniak. Okay. From Indiana, Representative Jenny Owens is present. From Iowa, Representative Mark Binder.
The public fire representative Mark Finder is present.
Thank you. Representative Lawrence Beckman. From Montana, Representative Marnie Harris.
Representative Marnie Harris is present.
Thank you. From North Dakota, Representative Robin Cox. From Oklahoma, Representative Benita Ferguson. From Oregon, Representative John Rockwell.
Present.
Representative Tim Stillian. Representative Skylar Arment. From Washington, Representative Frank Martinez. From Wisconsin, Representative David Schmidt.
Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin is present.
All right, thank you, sir. Let's see. Sure, I didn't miss anybody. No. Mr. Speaker, that concludes our roll call. I don't see anybody else on at the moment. So I will get a tally.
Okay, thank you very much. I just was informed by the Senate that they don't want to read the unity document in the joint session, so we'll go ahead and start with that. I'll go ahead and give you a moment to get the tally.
Okay.
And then we can just start. You can read that document, and then once you're done with that document, then or for that matter, we could switch reading documents if you want to. I'll leave that up to you.
That's okay. I can read it. Give me just a minute here.
Okay. Very good. I will let you do that. Anyway, as I've mentioned before, and don't hesitate to send me an email or something like that. I've brought up before that we need to get everybody's bios in, and I know a couple of you have had questions, and I appreciate those questions, but if you can get those in so that we can get those to the IT department, that would be fine. You know, I know some of you are kind of hesitant, and that's okay. If we don't get everybody on there, that's fine, but just, you know, get a good representation of our representatives to show the world that we are an active Republican Congress. And so if you have any questions, don't hesitate to give me a call, and I'll be happy to answer those questions for you. I think I sent my bio out for everybody to look at so they can kind of see kind of what we're after. So anyway, just email me with those questions or whatever. So anyway, I'll go ahead and yield back to Representative Owens to go ahead and read the document for tonight.
Okay. I have 8 representatives representing 7 states for our roll call, and I will pull up the document. As I understand it, we're just reading the part, I think it's in the second page, close to the end where it starts in 2010. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. This is the joint resolution to affirm unity. And I'm starting on the second to the last paragraph of the second page and the second to the last sentence of that paragraph. In 2010, the process of reinstating the republic by constitution began with offices reseated. This reinstated Republican governance is now called the Republic for the United States of America. Today, we in the Republic are small in numbers as compared to the entire nation. We are, in fact, an interim government to act to fulfill the reseating of the Republic. Our purpose is to provide constitutional protection and an attempt to mitigate harm and damage to this Republic and the people as best we can. We can best be effective when we are all headed in the same direction at the same time. Remember the old adage, united we stand, divided we fall. There are some in the Republic attempting to create a permanent seating of their free state at this stage of the development with only partial representation. The formation of a permanent government in any free state is formed when sufficient numbers in the millions are present to vote in Republic. This accomplishment is considered the complete reseating, re-inhabiting of the Republic for the United States of America. We are not taking over government. We are peacefully reinstating, reseating the government set aside in December 19, 1860. Our intent is not to infringe unlawfully against the corporation known as, all caps, the United States of America. Following are some brief points from our founding document. Point 1. Congress is mandated by the Constitution to guarantee a Republican form of government for every state in the Union. Kansas, as an example, starting in 1855, submitted four constitutions prior to admission into the Union of Free States. This was necessary to comply and be consistent with Article 4, Section 4 of the National Constitution. The United States shall guarantee every state in this Union a Republican form of government. Republic authority is granted under Article 1, Section 1. All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States. On January 29, 1861, Congress accepted Kansas Constitution and Kansas became a part of the Union of Free States, having finally created a constitution establishing a Republican form of government for the people. What does this have to do with us today? If we are going to reseat or re-inhabit the original Republic, we must use the original founding document. Taking off on a tangent into unknown territory would be foolhardy, possibly very dangerous. Point 2. The Equal Footing Doctrine. One extraordinary benefit is realized by being a member in the Union of Free States. There are some who say that states came into the Union after 1861 and have de facto state constitutions. One benefit of being a member of the Union of Free States is given by Article 4, Section 2, Clause 1. The citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states, affirming inherent rights. If a republic state has a de facto language constitution that does not have the language required by Article 4, Section 4, the interim state legislators can invoke de jure language from a sister state de jure language constitution and place it in their interim state constitution. Point 3. The interim republic government remains in effect until a majority of the populace are part of their free state and take part in the elections for the first reestablished permanent seat of government offices. Once this has been achieved, each free state can work on and have a majority of the populace vote and accept their free state constitution or send their legislators back to the drawing board. When the people from each state bring their constitutions into compliance to rule by law for the people established by the Constitution for the Republic, then all have a permanent government and interim governance job is complete. Point 4. All of the 50 states are considered to be part of the Republic for the United States of America, although certain states may not be represented with senators and representatives by that state in the Republic for the United States, or they may not have their state's government seated. If that is the case, anyone in that state has the right to call an assembly and follow the procedures to fill their vacated/abandoned office seats and join the Republic for the United States of America. In other states where the existing assembly decides that they want to take their state and go off and do something else with the state, they can't take the state with them. They can only take themselves and their assembly with them, not the state. The state is and always remains stationary in the Republic for the United States of America, whether they vacate, abandon their seats or not. The state already is a part of the Republic for the United States of America. The office seats are just vacated, abandoned. If any officials abandon the inhabitation process and do not proceed with the rule of law according to the original organic constitution for the United States of America, the state still remains with the Republic for the United States of America, but with those office seats vacated, abandoned. An assembly of we the people or the governance body shall fill the seats through the succession process, elections, or appointments according to the state's constitution, rule of law for that state that is in the Union in the Republic for the United States of America. Be it resolved that Interim Congress for Republic for the United States of America declares, affirms, and conveys an interim governance process to continue during reinhabitation of Republic for the United States of America. The interim governance of the free states and Union shall only install temporary operational constitutions referencing the original organic state constitutions and use the language that is not repugnant to the original organic constitution for the United States of America. The development and modification of Republican form constitutions can be in progress, but should not be ratified until permanent governance of that free state is achieved and is representative for all the Americans in that free state and much consideration is made on any new document. Full and proper representation can only be recognized upon full disclosure of the reinhabitation of the Republic for the United States of America to all Americans and the free states individually. When the interim Congress declares permanent Republican form elections and the majority of the populace of all free states in the Union and nation are given an opportunity to participate, interim governance will be conveyed, transferred, and affirmed to permanent governance. After interim governance transitions to permanent status, subsequent to nation elections, this joint resolution by Congress 2011-0705-01 may be reviewed by Congress for amendment, replacement, or termination. And I yield that ends the reading. I would like to just point out that this was something that was passed. Actually, it's been almost 3 years ago. And I yield.
Thank you very much, Representative Owens, for that. Hopefully you all understand that. We won't go into discussion on that now just because the Senate is waiting on us. And we want to get to the other document as soon as we can just because it's important because it's discussing about elections. So I'll go ahead and bring the Senate in now. Welcome to the floor, Senate. How are you doing this evening?
Very good.
We are well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I yield to you, Mr. Vice President.
That's all right. We're doing well. Thank you for having us, Mr. Speaker.
Well, good, good. First off, I want to apologize to the Senate for the last-minute changes to the documents that we're going to go over tonight. It's been a very hectic and interesting day. And sometimes you just don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but appreciate the Senate's patience in all this. We will move forward, but again, I just wanted to apologize to everybody for the last-minute changes. I know the Senate, you had some specific things that you wanted to do, so I will hopefully get this taken care of as quickly as possible. So I'll go ahead and read the document on the floor, for the record for tonight that we're going to be discussing. And then after that, if anybody in the body of the House has any questions for the Senate, we'll open up the floor for those particular questions. So the reading, this is a document number 2014-0624-01, findings of Congress regarding operations under the Constitution in respect to the term of senators and representatives. In the Standing Committee on the Judiciary referred to for research for preparing filings regarding operations under the Constitution or the United States of America in respect to terms of senators and representatives in the Republic Congress, brought in report, which being read and reviewed, was agreed to as follows. Excuse me. Whereas the founders of our nation began operations under the Constitution for the United States of America on Wednesday, on the first Wednesday in March in the year 1789. And whereas there is no precedent in law to ignore or otherwise act in a way that is contrary to the supreme law of the land. And whereas it is the opinion of the Senate and House of Representatives for the Republic for the United States of America in Congress assembled that operations under the Constitution for the United States of America by the Republic for the United States of America must coincide with the law and with the law as cited above. Therefore, the two-year term for the seated members of the House of Representatives shall end on the third day of March in every odd-numbered year, and the U.S. representatives-elect shall take their prescribed oath on the fourth day of March of the same year. The six-year term of the seated U.S. senators whose class shall have completed their six-year term shall end on the third day of March of the odd number of years, and the U.S. senators-elect shall take their prescribed oath on the fourth day of March of the same year. The acceptance of these findings of Congress shall cause the date of operation under the Constitution for the United States of America, for the Republic for the United States of America, to be amended from the 13th day of November of the even-numbered years to the fourth day of March of the odd-numbered years. And this was approved August 5th, 2014, by the Senate, and they had the first reading June 24th, 2014, the second reading July 8th, 2014, and the third reading July 15th, 2014. And that ends the reading of the document. And I will now go ahead and open up the floor to any House member that has a question for the Senate about this document. And we'll just come in to the floor by stating your name and your state, and we'll give you the floor. I yield.
This is the public for our Representative Mark Binder question the floor.
Yes, you have the floor.
Thank you. In the second paragraph, it says, whereas the founders of our nation began operations under the Constitution for the United States of America on the first Wednesday in March in the year 1789. That's all well and good and everything. But the Republic was re-inhabited, I believe, in an even numbered year 2010. And I think that the supreme law of the land does not state the year in which the elections need to be done, whether it be odd or even. I think what it does is it states it needs to be every 2, 4, 6 years, whatever the case may be, for the office of the representative. So in that, also where it says, whereas there is no precedent in law to ignore or otherwise act in a way that is contrary to the supreme law of the land, I'd have to disagree with that. I believe the law of necessity, when we had to re-inhabit the Republic, was all the law that we needed to do that and just change the year. I don't have any problem at all about what month everybody has their oath of office taken or what month the election is, but I think to change the year after we lawfully re-inhabited the Republic is just not founded in law, and I cannot support that. And I'd ask for any clarifications on that from the Senate, please. Is that a yield for the Senate? Thank you.
Go ahead, Senator.
With the chair, yeah, thank you. I'm going to yield to the chair of the, I believe this was in the Judiciary Committee, is that correct?
Yes.
I'm going to yield to the chair of the Judiciary Committee for clarification.
If so, that would be Senator Tom Zanzola, and your line is open, Tom.
Thank you, sir. Could you repeat the question, please?
My basic question is, how are you finding in law why it has to be an odd number year after the Republic has re-inhabited the Republic, contrary to an even number year? I believe it was 2010, if I'm not mistaken. I just wondered where you're getting, drawing the conclusion that it has to be an odd number year for the election. I yield to you, sir.
The odd number year for the, for which election, sir?
Well, you're drawing the conclusion that since the founders of our nation began operations on the Constitution in 1789, that we have to have our elections on an odd number of years. And I'm questioning that, because we re-inhabited on an even number year, to the best of my knowledge. I'm just wondering where the Constitution, the Supreme Law of Land, says we have to have it on an odd number year, sir.
The years that come up are added through the years of since the first election. When we re-inhabited, was not taken into consideration. We simply were looking at getting into alignment with the time since the founders had the first election. And every 4 years, the election is scheduled to be had. Whether or not, you know, we're just trying to get it in the order with the sequence of the year. Does that answer your question?
Well, I do understand that. I just wondered why, you know, you're stating Supreme Law of Land and you're doing under law. And I've already stated law of necessity could allow us to continue on with the schedule we're on right now, because to not do that is like discounting the fact that we did re-inhabit the Republic. And another reason that I don't feel that should be done also is because why would we want to realign back with the de facto? I think history has been made, and I think we should acknowledge that. That's my view on that. Do you have another rebuttal of that, sir?
Yeah, I would. I guess my other comment would be, first of all, that the Republic was started prior to the de facto being instituted and basically usurping the Constitution. So what they do really has no bearing on where we want to be. We want to be in alignment with the Constitution and not skip years because we were not paying attention to what the de facto was doing or you know, and just because we started in 2010, we need to align ourselves with the Constitution and the laws that are written in compliance with that Constitution in order to just maintain the integrity of the system as it was designed. And as far as the law of necessity, I don't know where the Constitution refers to that.
I yield. All right. Well, law of necessity is part of common law, and it states that even the supreme law of the land can be overridden if there is due course for it being done, not to be abused, but if there's due course for it being done. And I believe the re-inhabitation that we did make in 2010 is due course for that. I can give you a couple of examples, if you like, of the law of necessity.
If you wish.
Okay. A biblical, which, you know, our common law comes from the Bible, basically, God's law. The biblical version of that would be when David, later to be King David, and his band of soldiers was running from Saul, and they were on the run. They were being chased. they didn't have time to, you know, shoot a deer or another animal and build a fire and make supper. They were on the run. So what they did was they went into the tabernacle and they took the showbread, which normally, you know, God would normally strike them dead for doing something like that. But since they were on a mission from God, and since they were doing God's work, it was allowed. And even Jesus made light of that, you know, when he was referring to the Pharisees. He mentioned that that was a good example of, he didn't say the law of necessity, but he said of going to a higher law. That's the biblical example, and the modern-day example would be if you're at a park and there's a posted no swimming sign, and there's a young kid in the water in distress, drowning, you're the only one there, you can swim. Do you follow the statute that says no swimming, or do you go in and save the kid? Well, that's a higher form of law, too. That's another law of necessity. That's the example I would use for. So, like I said, I don't have a problem with following the Constitution. I just don't see where it says you have to be in an odd number of years and to change the schedule all over. Because I feel it's been detrimental to the Republic in the first Congress when we had to have a re-election. And, you know, I just don't agree with it with the year and without a yield. Thank you.
Anyone else in the House have a question for the Senate?
Are you still there, Mr. Speaker?
Yes, I was just waiting for a response. Anybody else in the House have a question? Everybody agree with what was read in the document about the document that was just read?
Mr. Speaker?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, sorry. Wasn't sure if you could hear me. A couple of points of clarification I would like to make, if I may, in reference to the representative's comments. One, you know, a law of necessity, as I see it, would be something that would be left to the people. It's not anywhere in the Constitution. So that is something that the people would have reserved to themselves. I understand his point, but there's nothing in the Constitution that indicates for the government to function under the law of necessity that I'm aware of. I may be incorrect. But, the other is, in essence, what I understand of the document is it is basically saying to default to the Constitution, plain and simple. It's not changing terms. It's not changing anything. It is simply a default to the Constitution. In essence, the next election, in particular for representatives, until the new class of representatives taking office in January or December or wherever, the new class would take office in March, according to the default date of the Constitution. I believe that's the way I understand it. I'm going to yield, actually, to Senator LaRue to correct me on that if I'm mistaken. Senator LaRue?
No, sir, I concur. Yeah, the law of necessity is something that the people reserve to themselves, because a situation of necessity would be a matter of opinion, and the Constitution is not a matter of opinion, it's a matter of law. It's what the people ordered us to do. So, and they didn't apply to that the opportunity for us to use our initiative to decide how and when to apply it. And I agree with your statement that we're simply trying to get back on track, because we're planning for a transition before the American people back to the lawful government, The fact that the corporation usurped the government, they stayed on the same schedule, and we need to abide by that schedule that was set forth when they first started the operation of the country. So, we're not trying to do anything except for, like what the Vice President and Senator Zanzilla said, we're still just trying to comply with the Constitution. I yield.
Does that answer the representative's question?
I still believe the law of necessity is, as it says, is a law, and it could be used as we... It was a law of necessity for us to re-inhabit. I just think it's silly to try to get back on that schedule. I yield with that. Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions for the senators? Well, it sounds like everybody understands it fairly well. We'll go ahead and take this up in the House and continue. If no one else has any questions for the senators, we'll go ahead and let them go back and to the respective House and continue with their business. And I'll go ahead and open up the floor one more time for anybody with any more questions about the document for the senators. Well, silence sometimes is golden, I guess. So anyway, appreciate the Senate coming on to the call tonight to give us some additional information on this document, on our election process. And we'll let you go ahead and go back to your own house and finish your business, and we will do the same. Any final comments from
our pleasure?
Any final comments from the Senate?
I just thank you very much, Speaker, for the invitation. It's our pleasure, as always, to join in with the House.
All righty. Then you guys have a good night. We'll talk to you all soon.
Thank you, and we bid Godspeed to the House.
Goodbye.
Well, that is all the business that I had scheduled for tonight since things got revamped. So it's about a quarter till. So I would entertain a motion to adjourn for tonight since we've been on long calls the past couple weeks. Get you done early this evening and let you get about your business. So somebody want to make a motion to adjourn tonight?
This is Representative Ackerman from Colorado. I make a motion that we adjourn. Can I yield?
This is Representative Marnie Harris from Montana, and I second that motion.
Okay. Is it okay if we amend the motion to say that we'll come back together on September 30th, 2014 at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, very good. All in favor of adjourning for tonight, signify by saying aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Okay, it sounds like the ayes have it. Does somebody want to lead us in prayer to close this tonight? Well, if nobody wants to do that, I'll go ahead and close this in prayer tonight. Dear Lord Jehovah, thank you for giving us the time tonight to get together and to chat with the Senate again and to get a few things discussed and worked on. Keep us all safe as the week progresses and let us have time to come back together next week on next Tuesday to conduct more business in the House of Representatives for your republic, for the United States of America. And I appreciate you sending your son to die on the cross for us because that's how we have our salvation, is his blood. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen.
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 Yep. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Good night.